April 19th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Podcast. It's Jeff Robbins. It's episode 11 of the Lullabot Drupal podcast. This week, we've got an interview with Zach Rosen of Civic Space. Zach started Civic Space out of work that he'd done on the Howard Dean presidential campaign here in the United States. People talked about that campaign and sort of how it harnessed the new generation of internet users to sort of activate and get behind the campaign. And Zach was really integral in that whole process. And when the Dean campaign fell apart, Zach started Civic Space, and that's what he does now. So let's talk to Zach and find out all his stuff. Tell me about yourself. You started Civic Space, correct?
Yes, I did. Do you want the whole spiel?
Yeah,
I give a spiel maybe four times a day.
Give the whole spiel. Everybody wants to know. This is, you can give it one last time. We'll put it out on an MP3 on the internet, and you can just point people to it in the future.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, so Civic Space actually started a few years ago. As a completely volunteer project on the Dean campaign. It was called Dean Space back then. Actually, the first name was Hack for Dean, but we quickly got rid of that because that was kind of an unworkable name. Basically, the story is I was a student at the University of Illinois. I was a computer science student, and I was home for the summer and started getting really interested I wanted to get involved in the presidential campaign. This was the summer of 2003. Backtrack a little bit. There's this other side story. At that point, Six Apart had just gotten the first round of investment, and this whole kind of social web thing was just starting to take off. And I was an avid reader of this blog called Joy Ito's blog, joy.ito.com.
Oh yeah.
And got kind of fascinated by this whole world of this whole intersection of social web technology. Web technology and society in general, I guess. And I was a pretty poor student. I wasn't the best student in the world, but I had no money. I had at one point added about 10 books to my Amazon shopping cart, all around kind of society and technology. So books like Smart Mobs, which is a tremendously good book, and Emergence, and Linked, and all these books are kind of like 300-page Wired articles. Really easy to read, kind of like lost over a lot of the science stuff, but really interesting. And I had added them to my cart, but they were auctions because I, again was pretty poor. And then for some reason, accidentally clicked them on click and ordered them all, which is really bad because I didn't have any money in my account. I actually went $300 in debt, and then went home the next couple of days and was at my parents' house, and these books they started showing up. And I started reading them, and I was like halfway through Emergence, and in the back of my mind was thinking a lot about what I wanted to do to get involved in the campaign. And then I started reading these stories about this guy named Howard Dean, who I'd heard about earlier. Actually, my roommate was really excited about him in college, but I heard that he was really, really against the war, and didn't have a shot in hell, and I believed it and kind of ignored him. But I started hearing a lot about the stuff he was doing with the web, and I did a little poking around on the web, and it became really apparent that all the stuff that I was kind of reading about in these books was, in a lot of ways, coming to life in his campaign. And at that point, got totally entranced and haven't found a way to get out of that entrancement sense, I guess. I like many people in the campaign, put my zip code into to meetup.com and was pointed to a gathering of other Dean Campaign volunteers in my area. And I don't know if you've ever been to a meetup, but the one I went to apparently was pretty standard. So it was like 50 people in a room staring around wondering what to do and kind of looking at each other about a half an hour. And then someone stands up and says, well, why don't we talk about why we're here? And so everyone goes around the circle, talks about why they're there, and pretty soon it's 9 p.m., time to go home, feed the kids, that kind of thing. And everyone leaves, and the month goes by because meetups happen once a month. And then you go back to maybe a different bar. There's now twice as many people, and half the people there last time are gone, but they've been replaced by a lot of more people. And everyone's sitting there, standing around the room wondering what to do. And it became really obvious that there was really a lot of missing infrastructure. There really wasn't much for this group of people to kind of grab onto. And the whole campaign really was really much, very much flying by the seat of its pants. As a geek, I was a computer science student again. I decided that my contribution would be to try to build some technology infrastructure that can help support these groups directly. And so I went and set up actually convinced my friend Brian Opsheets, his old high school friend, to work with me. We set up a simple website and a mailing list. It was called Hack for Dean. And basically the pitch was, hey, other technology technologists on the campaign, let's build some tools to help this campaign, because these this meetup.com thing gets us in the same room, and these Yahoo groups, I guess, can somewhat keep us in touch. But there really wasn't any really specific organizing tools that we could leverage. You're getting the whole pitch. I hope you don't mind. The whole spiel, sorry.
I don't mind at all.
Okay.
Like I said, yeah. Let's just get it all out.
Okay, that I'm down with that. So about 10 of us showed up. So one of the first people I invited was my friend from college, Neil Drum. I sent him an email and he signed up, and this guy named Josh Koenig also signed up, and some other folks, and some other folks we've lost touch with since. And we just kind of got to work. The original plan was, we had a pretty good sense of what we wanted to do. The idea was we're going to build this web application stack, this installable tool that would let organizations run a website, a DeanSpace website, and it would let them publish to the web and sign up contacts and organize events and all sorts of other things that an organization needs to do. And Josh was the one who stood up and said, well, this makes no sense for us to build this thing all ourselves. There's like a bazillion of these open source CMS systems out there. We should just leverage one of those and build on top of it. And so we thought, oh, this is a good idea. So how do we pick one? Like, many other people. So we're asking that question. We poked around open source CMS.com and did a little research. And then at some point I joined Channel PHP on Freenode. And I asked them what they thought of all these open source CMSs. And they said, well, everyone used to use Nuke, but it's a pile of crap. And there's a Mambo thing that some people like, but we all like Drupal. And I asked them, well, okay, why do you like it? And they told me, well, it was cleanly architected, and it was built by people who knew what the heck they were doing. And so we said, well, that's good enough for us, and decided to use it. And that was about a little more than 3 years ago, I guess, that we started working with Drupal. This is when it was Drupal 4.1, actually, we started working on it. 4.2 had just got released at just the time we started working on this stuff. And so we got to work. We forked it immediately, which is the worst thing you can do. But whatever. We had a campaign to run,
right.
And Neil Drum was the lead developer, and we built our own pretty badly forked Drupal distribution called DeanSpace. And it's interesting. We started rolling it out and helping grassroots groups use it. And we built things like, we had an ASP, everyone likes ASPs these days. Our ASP was named Alden Hines, who was a guy who could email, and he would quickly set you up a site for no charge. And there's other guy who set up his own virtual ASP as well. And at that same time, I had borrowed $1,000 from my, I don't have too much more money than I do back then, but back then I was really, really broke. I borrowed $1,000 from my grandmother to go to this thing called ILAW, which is Internet Law Seminar. It's basically Lawrence Lessig summer camp. I was really interested in intellectual property. It's a whole other spiel, I guess. But anyways, I ended up at this Internet Law Seminar course. And at some point, I talked a bit about the work we were doing at DeanSpace. And the guy who's running it said, well, why don't you talk about it during one of our sessions, because this sounds pretty interesting. And I gave a little five-minute spiel, and some Wired reporter was sitting in the back, decided to write an article about it at the camp. And that came out, and through that, I got in touch with this lady named Zephyr Teachout, because I interviewed her as well. She was the head internet organizer at the Dean campaign. And from there, finagled my way into a job up in Burlington, ostensibly as a web developer. Of course, I was not a very good web developer. I was a budding web developer, if that. So
you ended up going to work for Dean in Burlington?
Yes, I dropped out of school, much to the amusement of my mother and the disappointment of my father. My parents drove me up to Burlington, Vermont, and dropped me off, and I was thrown into the deep end. which was, I worked up in Burlington, Vermont, in the Dean campaign headquarters on the web team.
Now, just you, or did Neil Drum go along?
No, Neil Drum went back to school. He did this all. He was a lead developer on DeanSpace and was a college student at the same time, which was a lot of work, but he did it. And most of the volunteers, and almost all the work that was on the project was done by volunteers. And I was in a pretty interesting position. I mean, a lot of my time, especially in the beginning, was actually was doing web development. I built some tools for the national campaign infrastructure. But after a while, my job shifted more into basically being a go-between between our kind of open source, messy volunteer technology group and solving, you know, real problems we had at a national level and state level and local level as far as web technology. So we ended up setting up a whole bunch of these sites. We had all these different kind of tasks, like the Asian Americans for Dean group needs a website, and the African Americans for Dean group needs a website, and all of our state campaigns need websites. And we ended up using DeanSpace for all those sites. And actually, many of the sites that were set up by – they had some help from people who worked for the campaign, but a lot of the grunt work was done by volunteers. And it was really interesting because I was kind of, in a lot of ways, a funnel between our volunteer base and tasks we had at hand at the national level. And so in that way, I was able to was able to leverage our community quite a bit, and we got a lot done. But I was not the most proficient. I mean, my other colleagues on the campaign, when they were given tasks, they just kind of locked themselves in their room. Well, there was no rooms, but chained themselves to their desk at their cube and just coded prolifically. And I wrote some code myself, but I kind of cheated. I guess in that way, I wrote my friends into doing a lot of the work with me, which actually worked out pretty well, and we got quite a bit done. Most of the web team is in a working environment unlike anything I think I will ever experience again. It was, you know, everyone worked 120 hour weeks. Everyone spent a day or two sleeping over in the office at least a week. And everyone there I worked with were just tremendously talented, and driven. And it was phenomenal. And then it completely tanked. and blew up in January or February, I guess. And I was out of a job. At that time, I thought, well, maybe I'll go back to college. I was thinking about maybe applying to Stanford. And my friend Josh Koenig, who again was one of the first people on the DeanSpace project, said, well, you know, I'm working with this group called Music for America. We do a lot of political work still, or, you know, they're still engaged in the campaign cycle. And they had built all the technology on Drupal, of course, because Josh was an old DeanSpace guy. And they basically offered me a job to come work to help Josh on the website and maybe, you know, think about going to school in the summer. And so I went and interviewed, or I went and met with those folks out in San Francisco and talked to some people. And was fortunate enough when I was there to meet this Silicon Valley venture capitalist named Andy Rappaport, who is actually helping to incubate the Music America organization. At that time, I had mentioned to a few friends that I was interested in continuing the DeanSpace project on in some ways. I had a rough idea of, well, maybe building a foundation to support it. Not quite sure how that would work, but, you know, it would be a shame if all this work that we had done went away. Josh got me a meeting with Andy, we drove out to meet him at some hamburger joint, and he bought me a hamburger and sat me down and said, "Okay, go." And I, you know, kind of pitched him on, well, why don't we continue this DeanSpace project on and see where it goes and do it obviously not just for one organization, one campaign, but see if we can do it for everyone and see if we can really build a solid community around this technology. And I had some few ideas on how this would work out, but really not much of a clue exactly, you know, specifics of this all. And he went for it. He agreed to fund us, and we called up Neil Drum a couple of days later and told him to drop out of school, and he obliged. Since halfway through a semester, and he moved out to San Francisco, and I did too. And we got to work, that was May 04, I believe, and. And in the beginning, the original idea was, well, let's just take what we're doing on the DeanSpace project and do it right with, you know, paid engineering work and real releases and no forking and better code. We, you know, basically threw out all the development we'd done before because it was really there's no way I can think of to keep any code written during campaign cycle. It was really nasty stuff. So we basically started from scratch and. And we got a little bit of money, and I remember we were signing contracts with Adrian in South Africa to get him, we basically hired him. We didn't hire him exactly by just sending him some money. We basically paid for his DSL line or his cable modem into his house. So he could spend more time and not have to commute and spend more time hacking on Drupal. And we signed, I think, James, well, it probably wasn't James Walker's first contract with Drupal, but we signed him on to do some work on the form stuff. And then they went off very soon afterwards to some mystery channel in IRC and decided to form Bright with Boris Mann at the time. Contacted with a few other people, and Neil did a bunch of heavy lifting coding on the original builds of Civic Space, and we, you know, made a release within like a month. Like, we just started putting out code and seeing what would happen. Pretty soon we had some people, you know, downloading this thing and using it and signing up on a mailing list and participating. And about this time, I mean, if you look at the traffic stats, at least on Alexa, everyone tells me Alexa stats lie, but I don't care because they draw pretty graphs that I like. Around 2004 and 2005, Drupal starts taking off. In the beginning, we had some luck kind of roping people into our world, but just started building software and seeing what was happening. It was really what we were doing the first 6 months or so. This is the first organization I had ever really, I guess started it was my first startup. So we kind of ran smack into realities. Like, if you want to financially sustain an organization, there are ways to do it and the ways, you know, not to do it. There are kind of market realities around what we're trying to do. As we learn, I mean, basically, we were in competition. Our tool set and our community was essentially in competition with these providers of web technology that kind of own the marketplace. So the biggest companies, and not many people know, I don't think many Drupal folks know these companies' names, but they're Contero, Ganactive, and Kavio. They basically have these big toolkits they've been building for years of cost millions of dollars that do a heck of a lot. Like, they're full-blown CRM systems and mass mailing systems that can sell, that can send millions of mails in an hour, and CMSs, content management systems that they've kind of rolled on their own or they've integrated, and tools for event organizing, and you know, on and on and on and on. And the tool sets are great, but they are closed, they're proprietary, and they're really expensive. It costs tens of thousands of dollars or more, sometimes less, but thousands and thousands of dollars per month generally to use these tool sets. And what it means is that even the biggest kind of national organizations, nonprofits or advocacy organizations, have a hard enough time rolling out these solutions for them at a national level, let alone at a state level, and don't even think about a local level. And the whole model, I mean, as it turns out, most of the revenue that these companies get is from transaction processing. They're literally taking a cut of donations that are processed through their site. And because of this, and because the tools are proprietary, they're very cagey about integrating external vendor solutions. If you even, you know, kind of think about touching their membership data, they kind of freak out on you. And so for CivicSpace to kind of survive financially and to be successful, really, in the marketplace, trying to integrate it to these full stack solutions would be very tough, prohibitive, in our view. And so, at that time, we kind of realized that really to do what we wanted to do, we need to really, open source this entire, market. And we knew that we wouldn't be able to do this ourselves as just in CivicSpace, but we'd have to do this as kind of a distributed effort. And so we started working more explicitly with, at this time, some consultancies that kind of cropped up, like Adminmatic and Equidito and Civic Actions a little bit later. People starting companies to actually service this, the platform code. Some were working with the CivicSpace distribution. Many others were just kind of took Drupal and the kind of component parts and put together sites. But everyone was working towards, full-blown solutions for the organizations that we're trying to serve. And also a little bit later, this group called Open NGO started working on Civic CRM, and we had no great desire to spend years of man hours investing into building a CRM system. So immediately agreed to just integrate theirs because they knew.
Can you explain what a CRM is?
So a CRM system is a constituent relationship. Well, in the business world, it's a customer relationship management system. So like Siebel or Salesforce are really good examples of these systems. For the nonprofit and advocacy sector, the spin is constituent relationship management. It's just a database for managing information about people that you work with. And so people use them to track their donations or to track their most active supporters or it's their database people they send mail to, newsletters to. And it's a very important piece of technology for organizations. It's actually, if you probably poll organizations, it's probably their number one request is for a good CRM database to manage their contacts. But the issue is, organizations have huge and diverse needs in web technology. They need a really good CRM database, but they also need a really good mass mailing system, and they need a really good CMS system, and they need really good event tools, and they need them all seamlessly integrated. And by the way, they don't have any money. What we had going for us was Drupal had an immense amount of this technology already kind of really built, and Civic CRM added a lot of the missing pieces, and really CivicSpace, we're really just gluing this stuff together, and we do a lot of development ourselves, but really, most of the day-to-day work is on finessing a lot of existing modules, packaging them up, and supporting them. Over the last year, things just kind of came together. And at this point, we have over 2,000 organizations up and running with the CivicSpace distribution. That's on top of the 75,000 or plus and growing daily number of Drupal websites out there, many of which are nonprofit or advocacy focused. And there's a really substantial and extremely quickly growing vendor community that are servicing the code for the market, and we're really on track to kind of winning. Able to move just about any organization onto the stack technology and support them. And so At this point, we are actually splitting the Civic Space project into two different entities. One is going is a for-profit servicing arm that is launching a low-cost ASP, which we just announced on our website. So you can think of that as kind of the Civic Space version of the Bright Drupal hosted service. It's going to be a relatively low-cost service provider for the Civic Space distribution. And if you want to, if you're, anyone's interested in signing up for that, you can check it out on our website. We have a big link to it on civicspacelabs.org. And then and Kieran Lal is kind of the principal on that side of things right now, and they're getting the ASP set up right now and signing up alpha customers. Yeah, so the nonprofit, we are really focused on our ecology and our network of organizations and developers and vendors that we work with. And we see ourselves kind of as a traffic cop in some ways. So basically, if organizations want to use the Civic Space or Drupal and Civic CRM, we can hook them up with vendors if they need to be someone to help service the technology, or if they have internal tech folks on board, we can help get them up to speed. And we also fill a lot of gaps in the community, in the Drupal community, but also in the Civic Space community. And we really want to kind of get beyond just the technology and really get into best practices. And really discover and act on what really works and what maybe doesn't work when using these tools, and that's really going to be our focus.
That's the focus of the nonprofit.
Of the nonprofit, right. Yes.
And so, where's your funding coming from with the nonprofit?
At the moment, we are almost entirely funded by our incubator still, Skyline Public Works. But we are when we have a few things pounded out, we're going to go and if everything works out, go raise some money from probably private donors, individual donors, and or foundations. If you have any suggestions, let me know. I'm getting our pitches together right now. But we're kind of weird in a lot of ways. Nobody's kind of seen anything like us before. But the good news is it's working. And we can prove that it's working. We have some pretty good numbers to back up what we're doing.
And Alexa charts.
So, lots of charts, and it really has basically all come together. And we have a really good story. So that is all in my near future.
Right on. Wow. What an exciting ride.
That is the 20 minutes to explain it. That's the full blown spiel.
Right on. So all of this is available at civicspacelabs.org. That's where both the for-profit and not-for-profit version of the company both still live, correct?
That is correct. And to be honest, we're still working out the nitty-gritty details we're essentially getting two separate organizations off the ground at the same time. And so people have to apologize for the messiness over the next couple of months. But we're getting there, and we recently announced the nonprofit end is being fiscally sponsored by this organization called CompuMentor, which is a really awesome, phenomenally effective organization that's been doing the nonprofit technology stuff for quite a while, and they're really helping us through some of the stuff, and we're partnering with them on a lot of projects, and they're really excited about Civic Space, and we're really excited about them and what they're doing and their existing network that they have. They work with over 40,000 nonprofits across the nation, actually the world at this point. That's great, and the for-profit is we should call it Cure right now. They're banging away at the Civic Space ASP, I'm until I have something to show my mom, nothing I do really matters.
That's always the way it is.
It's
a good indicator, you know.
Yes.
It's like, is it actually? Does it matter?
Does it matter?
Does my mom care?
Right.
So let's do a little more to define Civic Space, though. I mean, I think that sure. When most people there was a time there, I think, when people were sort of confused as to what was Drupal and what was Civic Space, because there's the Civic Space distribution. Can you sort of explain what's different about the Civic Space distribution when you go and you download the Civic Space version of Drupal as opposed to going and downloading the Drupal core Drupal version?
Absolutely. So Civic Space, it's a Drupal distribution, and basically it's a productized version of Drupal geared towards nonprofit advocacy and NGO organizations. And so it includes, at a technical level, it includes Drupal Core. At this point, Civic Space version 8.3 runs on Drupal 4.6, but we will be moving to 4.7 sometime soon. It includes Drupal 4.6 plus a number of Drupal contributed modules. And the list is actually up on our website. You can go to What is Civic Space? Click the big red button on Civic Space Labs, and it'll explain exactly which modules that we include. But there's over 20 of them at this point. And most of them are specific basically to, well, a lot of them are kind of like standard Drupal add-on modules that people like the very nice WYSIWYG editor that you guys have worked on, and a lot of tools that organizers really need, like the events module and the event finder module. But it also includes Civic CRM. We bundled the OpenNGO Civic CRM system and have integrated it into our mass mailing system, which is the mass mailer module, and also some of the event tools. And it's all bundled together, and it has a couple extra goodies that you don't find in Drupal at the moment, but we're working on fixing this. We have our own installer and configuration system. The installer basically gives you a graphical web interface into creating your Civic Space database. Dumping the tables for your database and walking you through some of the permissioning on your files as you're setting up your site. And then the configuration system is a module inside Drupal. It's a Drupal module, sorry, but it basically walks you through some of the most basic configurations that someone who wants to design a site for community organizing would normally have to do by hand. And you can think of it what people have started to label as install profiles. It's basically a default configuration for a site, and it has a decision tree. So there's some customization that it walks people through. But the whole idea is that it makes it much easier, a much quicker process to get a website off the ground based on Drupal and Civic CRM that meets the needs of nonprofit advocacy and NGO organizations. We estimate that if you were to build a typical Civic Space website, the Civic Space installer and configuration system and the pre-bundle module save you between 20 to 60 hours of work.
Installing modules and configuring stuff and all that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's really a benefit to that. I mean, for people that I had installed Drupal several times, and then when I went through the Civic Space installer, it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it's like, it's just easy.
So
some of that stuff is starting to make its way over to Drupal as a project. But right now, that's one of the real great benefits of the Civic Space installer, in addition to all the packaged modules and, like you said, I mean, everything being pre-configured.
Yeah, I mean, at a technical level, you know, Civic Space and Drupal are becoming increasingly dissimilar. I mean, increasingly similar, sorry, opposite of dissimilar. So, I mean, we really are very adamant about not forking anything that we do. And so the last little things we've been trying to squash a while are our installer system and the configuration system and little random things that we haven't figured out a shape, like the forms module, which is looks like Walker's working on it, and it might become more standard. But just about, you know, every other module that we include in Civic Space is available as a module in the contributors in the contributors directory in Drupal. And so anyone can go out and use whatever modules that we include in Civic Space on a normal Drupal site, and that's great. And all of the development that we do is done with inside the Drupal community and using the Drupal development process. The way we see it, it saves us a lot of time and effort and money if we can do work as closely with the Drupal community as possible, because it will be maintained also by the Drupal community.
Right.
But that's a lesson that we knew. I mean, that's something we knew abstract a while ago, but we've learned that lesson repeatedly over the last 2 years, how much it kind of sucks to have to maintain code on your own. It's just not worth it.
Right.
And now it's just a no-brainer. There's increasingly little excuse to have to fork something in Drupal, especially with the new stuff like the Forms API and 4.7 and all the new goodies and that you get the theme layer and just in general how evolved Drupal and the Drupal contributor models have become.
Well, yeah. And I mean, Civic Space has kind of been at the forefront of that. I mean, you know, a lot of the process of sort of reintegrating what Civic Space had done with their forked version back into Drupal has pushed Drupal forward in sort of needing to allow for these things. And in fact, you've gone as far as to donate Neil Drum to the project now, right? Neil,
yeah.
Neil is now a core, one of the four core committers for Drupal. So yeah, he's right there. He's in it. He's got control of it now.
Yeah, you guys should all go buy him beers.
Yeah, exactly. Go run,
I now live with him. Neil and I have got an apartment together. So if you buy him beers, I get beers.
Ah,
so
nice.
But yes, Neil. Yeah, he is one of the four committers, and you know, almost all the people who do work for Civic Space Inc. or inside Civic Space, you know, do a tremendous amount of work day to day with the Drupal community, and that's great. I mean, I love it when I get to collaborate with other people who are trying to do the same stuff as us.
Right on.
And yeah.
So we had a question come in on the podcast line, 877-LULABOT, that I thought you'd probably be the best person to answer. So let me just play that for you here.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Greg Knadison, Drupal user Greggles, and I'm pretty confused about all of the different modules and distributions and companies, and so there's just so many different things that start with Civi. There's CiviMail and CivicMail and Civic Space and CiviCRM and Civic Actions and all these different things. And I even heard somebody yesterday say CivicCMS, which I'm pretty sure doesn't exist, but I don't even know at this point. So I'm curious if you could explain the history behind the Civi prefix on all of these Drupal-related things, what the different projects and modules and companies are, and if there's any interaction between them or if they're totally separate entities, just, you know, what's going on. Thanks very much. Bye.
I mean, I think in general, it can be thought of somewhat as kind of co-branding. I mean, they're you know, at the end of the day, we have a pretty amazing amount of and range of people and organizations loosely joined around this platform. So these are people who just independently develop code, people who work for companies that develop the code, organizations that develop code, and everyone is kind of revolving around the same, in a lot of ways, the same CVS tree, right? Drupal. But, you know, CiviCRM has its own CVS tree, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, in a lot of ways, we're all working together on the same code. And the reason I think that we're getting a lot of these we've seen a lot of these, you know, people refer to it now as the Civi Star projects is it's kind of a representation of our alignment and our kind of community, right? People working on this stuff are doing it in concert with one another, but they're doing it on different project budgets. Like people get different paychecks from different places, and that's a really interesting thing, and it leads to, I guess, some confusion. But at the end of the day, a lot of collaboration. That was a really messy and as Neil would probably call it, a meta explanation, it would be derogatory in saying that. But
well, I mean, your name came out of my understanding, at least, is that your name, the Civic Space, came out of Dean Space when you wanted to make it sort of, you know, for use by civic organizations, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, a lot of these other companies, sort of, it's the same kind of thing. Civic CRM, although it's not actually a Civic Space project. I mean, now Right. You've got it. It's actually integrated. You know, it was developed outside of Civic Space, but of course now it's part of the Civic Space distribution.
Right.
And again, was built for sort of that same purpose. You know, this sort Right. of social change through programming kind of stuff. And then you've got Civic Actions, again, a company doing similar kind of work. And then Civic Mail, which is part of the Civic CRM. Is that correct?
Yes, it's built by the Open NGO folks,
right.
and is included with Civic CRM.
Right, right, and Yeah, so that's the various Civic Star projects. I like that one.
it's really cool. I mean, Fundamental Instance is really cool because it's something that to my knowledge, really hasn't happened before in our sector, in the nonprofit advocacy sector. But, you know, in general, I think you have to search very wide to find an ecology that really is working fundamentally as well as ours is. It's really like, you know, I know of a number of instances where people who work for, you know, companies in this space compete with one of the companies, you know, competing on bids day to day. Employees of those companies regularly hang out at one each other's houses and, you know, IM each other daily to see if someone's checked in the code or has fixed a bug and share, you know, work, collaborate on projects together on a day to day basis. That is really interesting and really exciting. I mean, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic of sort of everyone working off this same open source base, and that everybody kind of benefits from. However, the Drupal benefits.
Right.
It's great. What do you see on the horizon for Drupal? I mean, what's the sort of new stuff that's getting you excited and sort of what direction would you like to see Drupal go in?
Yeah, so it's like ridiculously easy to blow someone's mind these days demoing Drupal. And the three things that I like to demo these days are CCK and views, and in combination, CCK and views.
CCK is a content creation kit,
right.
which allows people to basically create content items with a graphical, you know, interface to just, you know, toss in the, I want a field for first name, I want a field for last name, I want a field for biography, and toss it in and you've got a node, right?
Yes.
And then views, and we did an interview with Merlin of Chaos, a.k.a. Earl Miles, maybe a month ago, something like that. And views basically is a, what you call it, like a query engine kind of thing, where basically you can, you know, say, I want to see all the nodes of this type written by this person or with this taxonomy term or whatever, and then bang, you get a list of them and stuff like that. So,
right.
So those are really cool things. What else? What else you got? What else you like? Sorry to cut you off to explain.
No, the new groups modules. So organic groups itself, but also the contributor modules like Aug to List. I made a screencast a couple weeks ago, basically demoing some of the group stuff I've been working on my spare time, just to see what they do, basically. I really think phenomenally powerful. I think the a lot of people have been wanting to get at this kind of realm of functionality, which would allow them to let their, you know, their network of people that are registered on their site seamlessly collaborate and form some groups to collaborate and find other people with inside one site and work with them. I really think that the group stuff and the view stuff and the CCK stuff are like, I call this the last 10% problem. It's like Drupal itself and the Drupal contributor modules have an immense amount of power, but they've had a heck of a time kind of reaching the last 10% of it's a combination of kind of critical functionality, but also kind of usability or exposure to you know, exposures of powerful functionality to users. Those three modules especially, I really think, when someone who's outside of Drupal sees them, gets, you know, it's just really apparent how powerful these set of tools are really getting. But the other thing that in the advocacy nonprofit NGO sector people love is a civic CRM system. It's just one of those things that when people see it and they don't have it, they need it right then. It's somewhat like crack for these guys. They all have these, you know, huge access database, or they're using some desktop software. Or they have some expensive web-based software, but it doesn't quite work right, and it doesn't quite do what they need to do. And more importantly, it doesn't integrate with day-to-day the tools that they use. And when they see the possibility that all these tools could just seamlessly work together and easy enough and cheaply enough that it can just free them up to do their work, they get really, really, really excited. And we're getting there. I mean, the civics distribution is getting pretty close to that.
Right on. So, how extensible is the Civic CRM? Because I know that, like, some sites that we've built, like with, you know, e-commerce kind of sites and stuff like that, you know, there's sort of need for CRM, the other meaning of CRM, customer relationship manager. And so I'd sort of been meaning to look into Civic CRM and see sort of how sort of specific to the sort of nonprofit NGO stuff it is.
It's just a flat out very powerful CRM system that integrates pretty well with Drupal. And right now mostly the user registration system, but also third party modules have leveraged its API in other ways. And the best example I think at this point of its extensibility is the Civic Node project that Robin Torn is working on, and we can post a URL up in the blog post about this. But basically, it's a module that's going to make it much easier for Drupal developers to leverage the Civic CRM system by basically exposing a lot of what it does as normal or Drupal-y hooks, and it lets you attach CRM information in an easier way to functionality. I just saw the Gordon Hayes released a module that lets you integrate Civic CRM as your address in as an address book for the e-commerce system, which is really awesome. And I think we'll in the next year, I think we'll see a lot more contributor models that are going to leverage it, because the API is pretty good right now, and it's going to get a lot better. And if you go to the Open NGO website, they have really good documentation about their API. And you can go check it out.
Very cool. Very cool. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a year, I think. It's really, you know, you think it's crazy now. I think wait 6 months, it's going to get even crazier.
Yeah. So, Zach, you were at Drupal Camp. What'd you think? How did it go? What's your feeling about the future of Drupal Camps?
Well, I think if you go join the newly established Drupal Camp group, which overnight has 52 members, and at this point I think about a half a dozen other Drupal camps being organized.
That's on
groups.drupal.org.
Groups.drupal.org, which is now open for business.
Open for business. You will see that they're taking off, and I think the first Drupal camp I wrote a pretty extensive write up on. It's posted on Drupal.org right now about what happened at the San Francisco Drupal camp and what worked and what we hope future groups will do differently. But overall, it went really well. It was a lot of fun, and it was great. It was great to see a lot of people out there eager and insistent on learning how to do this stuff, and you know we well you were the trainer. You can chime in here as well, but I
had a lot of fun. It was really great. It was definitely really neat. I mean, a lot of this work, you know, it's between you and a computer, and it's really interesting to go out there and, you know, put some draw some stuff on the whiteboard or show some stuff on the projector, you know, oh, you can use this module, and then sort of walk around the room and there's people using the modules. And
exactly.
So they're using some of my modules. That was exciting. It was like, hey.
Awesome.
I wrote that. That's awesome. Yeah, kind of sort of immediate response kind of thing, which is something you don't get with programming, with open source too. I mean, lots of times the only time you hear about people even using your modules that you build or the work that you do is when they essentially have complaints about them. You know, when there's bugs, they'll say, "Oh, this is a great module. However, it's not working, and here's why." And so it's nice to kind of get together with people and sort of interact and sort of get some, you know, external energy going around it. And also, I mean, obviously, it was really nice to share the information with people that I've gathered over the time I've been working with Drupal. So it was great.
Yep. And there's Drupal camps coming up in, I believe, in New York City. I hear rumors of one maybe happening in D.C. There's definitely one that Adrian's working on in South Africa, actually. If you go to the Drupal Camp group page, you can, if you're interested in starting your own camp, or reading about what other people are doing, there's a lot going on.
Right on. And that was basically your idea, right? I mean, the Drupal camp, it kind of came to get you. I heard you say it first, and then it all fell into place from there. So I'm going to give credit to you, Zach Rosen.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I don't think I deserve it, but there's.
You deserve credit for maybe other things that you're not getting credit for. So we'll just give you credit for this.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. Day to day, a lot of the people I talk to in my universe, like a lot of people. You know, a lot of people out there at these firms, their biggest bottleneck is finding trained people who can fulfill work. And I get pinged a couple times a day or a few times a day asking, where am I hiding all these Drupal hackers? Where are they? And I don't, you know, I ran out of answers. They all have jobs. And so getting training curriculum in place and getting trainings in place that can start spitting out people that we can put to good work. Is going to be really, really helpful. And these camps are really kind of a fallout of that need. And the fact that they're being organized as quickly and the fact that we sold out the Drupal Camp SF with 2 weeks notice in 3 days is testament to the fact that how quickly this ecology is really kind of taken off. And it's a really, as I've been saying, it's a really great problem to have. And I really want to solve it in fun, interesting ways. I think we're going to start to see some really good curriculum being developed. I think we're going to see some kind of more formal at least more ironed out training programs put in place. And I think we're going to see a lot of people kind of run through the ropes, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, we're really excited to do more of that with Lullabot, definitely. Should be good time, and we'll get some other people smart about this stuff, and then we'll have them on the podcast.
Oh, perfect!
and they'll put us all the rest of us to shame.
Exactly. I decided that my career goal is to help build the infrastructure that allows a 12-year-old person in India to kick my ass.
Exactly.
That's my goal.
Exactly. I tell people that our business model is to make ourselves obsolete.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's about making, exactly, just make it so just easy and simple to use that it's just completely transparent. You just go and build your website by clicking a bunch of buttons and you're done.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Right on. Well, thanks, Zach. Thank you so much for talking to me and letting people hear your spiel. We'll put a big link to it. You can put a link to it everywhere and just send people the link when they ask for your spiel and we'll...
Perfect.
You never need to say it again.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. I'll just carry my laptop everywhere and have it on my iTunes and I'll just play it. I'll just go get a drink.
Exactly. Just set up the PowerPoint, start hit play and head off.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Well, take care, Zach. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.